Today we're on Psalm 21 in our series through the Psalms. If you turn your Bible to Psalm 21, we can take a brief look at it today. It's actually a companion to Psalm 20. We saw in Psalm 20 that there was the prayer for the people of the Lord as the king went forth to battle, and they were going forth to battle under his banner. But now in chapter 21, we get the answer to the prayer where the king is victorious in battle, where he's crowned with glory. A golden crown is placed upon his head. He's delivered from his enemies. And then we see his wrath upon his enemies. In fact, we can divide the psalm into those two parts. Verse 1 to 7, we get the king's prayer for victory and then and deliverance. And then verse 8 to 13, we get the king's power, his wrath upon his enemies. So we look at the first portion there, the king's prayer, verse 1 to 7. We see that in verse 1 says, "The king shall joy in thy strength, O Lord, and in thy salvation how greatly shall he rejoice. Thou hast given him his heart's desire, and hast not withholden the request of his lips. For you have gone out to meet him," it should read in more modern translation, the King James has "preventest him." But that doesn't mean anything to us today. In fact, it means the opposite of what it actually means. Prevent is to resist or hinder today. But the idea of the verse is you have gone out to meet him. With the blessings of goodness, you have set a crown of pure gold on his head. He asked life of thee, and thou gavest it to him, even length of days, forever and ever. And so really, this is a messianic psalm. Although it's not strictly quoted in the New Testament, it's certainly alluded to in Hebrews chapter 5, where you have the Lord about the Lord Jesus. The writer of the Hebrews says in verse 7, "Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and he was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things that which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all that obey him." And this is exactly what we have in our psalm, that it says in verse 4, "He asked life of you, and you gave it him even length of days." He asked for deliverance. He asked for salvation. He asked for victory, a deliverance from the power of the enemy and the death. And of course, the Lord Jesus was raised from among the dead. That prayer was answered. Although we'll see in the next psalm, Psalm 22, when he cried to God on the cross, we get the cry of forsaking. But ultimately, the prayer was answered. He was raised from among the dead. And then it says, of course, in verse 3, "You have gone out to meet him and placed a crown of pure gold upon his head." And this, too, we see in Hebrews chapter 5, because after the portion that I just read from Hebrews chapter 5, we get these words, that he's called of God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And you might want to look at the Jane Darby translation or some of the other translations. Is actually he's addressed or saluted by God as a priest after the order of Melchizedek. And we may connect this with verse 3, that you've gone out to meet him. You've set a crown of pure gold upon his head. And so we see now the Lord Jesus crowned with glory and honor at the right hand of God. And this psalm really presents to us, at least in the first half, how the king is crowned. He's crowned with the golden crown. We get that in verse 3. "You've set a crown of pure gold upon his head." And then verse 5, "His glory is great." The glory of the Lord Jesus is great, dear friends. "In thy salvation, honor and majesty thou hast laid upon him." He's been crowned with glory and honor at the right hand of God. "For you made him most blessed forever. You have made him exceeding glad with your countenance. For the king trusts in the Lord, and through the mercy of the Most High he shall not be moved." Because the Lord Jesus was the obedient man on the earth, the humble man, the man that was always dependent on God, the man that always did God's will, now we see him at the right hand of God, crowned with glory and honor. And so we can actually trace this theme of the crowns of the Lord Jesus through the Bible. And when we come to the New Testament, of course, in Revelation 14, we see him crowned with glory and honor. Revelation 14, let's go over here. Yes, Revelation 14, it says, "And I looked, and I beheld a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle." So I think we've alluded to this verse before. We get the golden crown upon his head. Now this crown is, in the Greek, the Stephanos. It's the laurel crown of victory. This type of crown was often given in the Olympian Games, the ancient Greek Games, the Isthmian Games and the Athenian Games, where the victor was upon his head of the victor was placed a wreath, a laurel wreath, and it signified victory, or the one that has overcome, or the one that has gained the victory. And here we see the Lord Jesus in Revelation 14. He's crowned with this Stephanos, this laurel wreath of victory, but it's a golden one. His glory is great. He's about to judge the earth. He's set on this cloud with a sickle in his hand, about to reap the harvest of the earth. But he's the overcoming one. He overcame. And just as he overcame, we will overcome also by his grace. Every believer is actually an overcomer because we have believed that he is the Son of God. But then when we come to Revelation chapter 19, we see another type of crown in verse 12. His eyes were as a flame of fire. This is the Lord Jesus coming in power and glory, his second coming. And on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but himself. Now, the crown here in verse 12 is the word in the Greek is the same word we get in English, the word diadem. But it's plural. It's many crowns. It's diademata is the Greek word. Many crowns are placed upon his head because he's the King of Kings and he's the Lord of Lords, and he's coming to claim his kingdom and to establish his kingdom in the earth. And that brings us, of course, to the second part of the psalm, the king's power. First is the king's prayer, which is answered, and now the king's power will be carried out. He's presently crowned with glory and honor, but that glory will be seen by the world. That power will be felt. And especially the wicked will come under the wrath of the Lamb, or the wrath of the King, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And so verse 8 says, "Thine hand shall find out all thine enemies, thy right hand shall find out those that hate thee. Thou shalt make them as a fiery oven in the time of thine anger. The Lord shall swallow them up in his wrath, and the fire shall devour them. Their fruit shalt thou destroy from the earth, and their seed from among the children of men. For they intended evil against thee. They imagined a mischievous device, which they were not able to perform." You know, they thought they'd gotten rid of the Lord Jesus when they crucified him. They thought he was dead and gone, and they still think that. They're living in denial. They're living in unbelief, but they'll shortly find out that he's very much alive, and he's the King of the universe, and he's going to come and take his great power and reign. And then the last verse, we get verse 13 in the psalm. "Be thou exalted, Lord, in thine own strength, so will we sing and praise thy power." But our portion is to praise his power. Praise him for who he is. Praise him for what he's done for us. Because don't forget, he died for sinners, for the chief of sinners. He came here in this Christmas season. This is when I'm recording this. It's actually Christmas Day. We often think of his incarnation coming into the world. But that would have been of no benefit to us, except he had gone down into death and came up again out of death. And now he's there and he ever lived to make intercession for us. So let's praise his name today, give thanks for what he's done for us. Shortly, the world will see this, and your faith will be honored. Those who have not seen yet believed, the Lord calls you blessed.